This is the Electronic Intifada Newscast. I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman, Associate Editor at the Electronic Intifada. It's day 451 of Israel's genocide in Gaza. Here is a brief summary of some of the latest developments this week. Since the beginning of October, more than 80 days ago, we've been reporting here every week on the relentless targeting of medical workers, patients, and staff of the Kamal Adwan Hospital in Beit Lahia, as Israel accelerates its ethnic cleansing operations and complete obliteration of Palestinian life in North Gaza. And for more than 80 days, the hospital's director, a pediatrician named Dr. Abu Safiya, has pleaded with the world to stop Israel's genocidal attacks on his hospital, his staff, and his patients. This past week, Israeli tanks and armored quadcopter drones continued to lay siege to the hospital, which was the only partially functioning medical center left in the north. It now lays in ruins after the Israeli army stormed the building, forcibly ordered everyone inside to leave, interrogated and strip-searched staff, and set fire to the hospital. Here are the developments from the last week of attacks on Kamal Adwan. Israel deployed remote-controlled vehicles to place boxes of explosives around the hospital, according to eyewitnesses. Drones were filmed dropping bombs on the hospital itself. On December 24th, Dr. Abu Safiya stated that, quote, something new was developing in terms of Israel's attacks on the hospital. Here's a clip from Dr. Abu Safiya's statements on December 24th when he spoke from inside a hospital ward. In this video, he says, quote, explosive robots began to approach little by little, and two robots detonated near Kamal Adwan Hospital. I believe they were around 50 meters from here. Unfortunately, these explosions, as two robots were detonated, resulted in massive damage to the hospital. This is the situation, he said, as a bomb dropped by a quadcopter exploded nearby. Quote, we get bombarded by these bombs all night long.
طبعا هذا هو الحال كما ترى الان قصف من كواد كابتر شكله قريب جدا على بوابه المستشفى هذا هو الحال طوال الليل نقصف بهذه القنابل
On December 25th, Israeli attacks on Kamal Adwan killed five hospital workers, Dr. Ahmed Samour, a pediatrician, Isra Abu Zayda, a laboratory technician, two paramedics, Abdul Majid Abul Al-Aish and Maher Al-Ajrami, and Faris Al-Hudali, a maintenance worker. On Friday, Israeli soldiers ordered patients and medical staff to leave the hospital. Some patients were transferred to other medical facilities. Here is a video filmed from inside Kamal Adwan Hospital. A woman says to the camera, quote, all I can say is may God hold them accountable.
خلت من الياس بعد اذنك ايش بتقولي بعد ما طلعت
بس يلا عليهم بس
Israeli forces also ordered the entire medical staff to strip off their clothes, march to a nearby area, and undergo interrogations before some of them were abducted and taken to unknown locations. An eyewitness stated that Israeli soldiers forced all the patients and displaced people to walk a long distance to a checkpoint, where they were subjected to hours of humiliation and invasive searches before being loaded onto trucks, still without clothes, and left to sit for hours. The eyewitness stated that everyone, injured, sick, displaced, or visitors, received the same degrading treatment with no regard for their conditions. Soldiers had also marked Palestinian captives with numbers on their necks and chests. Shuruk Saleh Harer Al-Rantisi, a lab worker at the hospital, told reporters that Israeli forces ordered the female hospital staff members to remove their shirts and pull down their pants. They also ordered the women to remove their headscarves. Quote, when we all completely refused to do so, they said that those under 20 years of age should take them off. We all still insisted that we would not take off the hijab, Al-Rantisi said. She added that they were grabbed by the neck while their IDs were checked, and then the soldiers searched everyone. Al-Rantisi added, quote, I was surprised to see that they, the Israeli forces, were burning the archives, adding that after that, the army called on Dr. Hassem Abu Safiya and he went outside. He came back and told his staff that the army wanted everyone out of the hospital. A physician in Gaza, Dr. Izzadine, stated on social media that some of the medical staff, quote, were later transferred to the Indonesian hospital, a facility that had been cleared of displaced people a week ago. Hours later, a few of our colleagues were released from the Indonesian hospital, but were subjected to another round of searches before leaving. We were unable to confirm the names of those released, so we went to the hospital to wait for their arrival and ensure their safety. Thankfully, many of them have been released and we were able to speak with them. Unfortunately, some of the medical staff, including the hospital director, were taken to an unknown location and their fate remains uncertain. On Saturday, images emerged of Dr. Hassem Abu Safiya being ordered to walk toward two tanks outside of the hospital to talk to the soldiers inside the tanks. He was subsequently abducted and reportedly physically assaulted by the Israelis. A nurse, Walid Al-Boudi, gave his eyewitness testimony on Dr. Abu Safiya's abduction and abuse by Israeli soldiers. I'll let the video play and read the translation over it. Dr. Hassem Abu Safiya was arrested from Al-Fakhura school after he had stayed with us and refused to leave, even though they told him to and that he was free to go. He told them that he wouldn't leave his medical staff. He took all of us and wanted to get us out at night, but they yelled at him and arrested him, a man of great humanity. We appeal to the entire world, all of the human rights organizations, to stand by Dr. Hassem Abu Safiya, the great man, the man who planted within us and within our hearts patience, so we can persevere in our steadfast north. I swear we wouldn't have left willingly, but by force. We cried blood on the doors of Kamal Adwan Hospital when we were forced out by the occupation army. As of this morning, Dr. Abu Safiya has been effectively disappeared by the Israeli army and his exact whereabouts are still unknown. There were reports that he was seen being beaten with batons and electrical cables by Israeli soldiers. The Gaza government media office stated on Sunday that, quote, Dr. Hassem Abu Safiya, along with his colleagues in the health system, bore the burden of defending the right of patients and the wounded to receive treatment and medical care, and remained steadfast in the field of work despite his severe injury and the loss of his son Ibrahim, who witnessed the sacrifices of this steadfast family. The reports that Dr. Hassem Abu Safiya was subjected to serious violations and psychological and physical pressure after his arrest, including being forced to take off his clothes and medical coat and being used as a human shield, constitute a blatant violation of all human values and international conventions. And we call for immediate and serious action from all concerned parties, especially the international community and international and UN humanitarian, legal, and human rights organizations. Dr. Abu Safiya, as we've reported, had refused incessant orders by the Israeli army to abandon his hospital. In late October, Israel raided and besieged Kamal Adwan, killing Abu Safiya's 15-year-old son, Ibrahim, in a drone strike. Abu Safiya led the funeral prayers for Ibrahim before burying him in the hospital's courtyard. At the time, he accused the Israeli army of killing his son as a punishment for refusing to abandon the hospital and his staff and patients. A month later, Abu Safiya was injured in another drone strike, shredding his leg with shrapnel and leaving him seriously wounded. But he declared, quote, "This will not stop us. I was injured at my workplace, and that is an honor. My blood is no more precious than that of my colleagues or the people we serve. I will return to my patients as soon as I recover." Just last week, as our contributor Fida Al-Kedra reported, Abu Safiya insisted that transferring patients as called for through an Israeli loudspeaker would take days, not hours, if it was even possible. The Indonesian hospital in Beit Lahia, he said, would have to be prepared, and there was a lack of ambulances to transport patients. Quote, "Once again, as on so many occasions in recent weeks, he appealed to an unlistening world," Fida Al-Kedra writes. We'll continue to update the situation at Kamal Adwan Hospital and Dr. Abu Safiya and his staff and patients as best we can. The Palestinian Ministry of Health in Gaza stated on Friday that, quote, it is worth noting that three public hospitals were covering medical services in the northern Gaza Strip, namely Beit Hanun Hospital, the Indonesian Hospital, and Kamal Adwan Hospital. Beit Hanun Hospital was completely destroyed, and the Indonesian Hospital is completely out of service after the destruction of all infrastructure. The only hospital that was partially operational due to the lack of medical capabilities and supplies was Kamal Adwan Hospital. What is happening today is that the occupation has dealt a fatal blow to the remaining health system in northern Gaza, and this is completely consistent with the general's plan to end the presence of the population in the northern Gaza Strip, the health ministry stated. Israel attacked three other hospitals in northern Gaza this weekend, including Al-Ahli Baptist Hospital and Al-Wafa Hospital in Gaza City, and Al-Awda Hospital in Jabalia. Israel continues to repeatedly attack the tents of displaced Palestinians in so-called humanitarian safe zones in Gaza. On December 22nd, Israel massacred at least seven Palestinians in a bombing of Al-Mawasi, setting the tents ablaze. And this week, at least five newborn babies have died from hypothermia in displacement camps, including Al-Mawasi. The oldest child, Juma Batran, was only 1 month old. Al Jazeera's Hani Mahmoud reported that, quote, thousands of Palestinians displaced from their homes have been living inside nylon, plastic, and makeshift tents along the coast and in the central area of the Al-Mawasi evacuation zone, where it gets really cold at this time of year. The fear is that this is going to worsen as weather forecasts warn of a cold front hitting the Gaza Strip in the coming days. The Palestinian Ministry of Health in Gaza announced that a physician, Ahmed Al-Zaharna, who worked at the European Gaza Hospital, died from hypothermia on December 27th. His body was found inside his tent in Al-Mawasi. Israel killed five journalists this week in Gaza. The Gaza government media office says that the number of reporters and media workers who have been killed since October 2023 now stands at 201 after Israel bombed the press van of the Al-Quds Al-Yom satellite channel at about 1 a.m. on December 26th, burning five reporters alive while they were working in Nuseirat refugee camp. Their names were Faisal Abu Al-Kusman, Ibrahim al-Sheikh Ali, Muhammad al-Ladah, Fadi Hassouna, and Ayman al-Jadi. Al-Jadi's wife was in labor at a nearby hospital with their first child when he was killed. The baby was born a few hours later and was named after his father. The Palestinian Center for Human Rights called the missile strike on the media van, quote, the worst crime against journalists in Israel's genocide in Gaza Strip. The group said, quote, Israel, by targeting journalists, aims to monopolize the narrative and orchestrate a media blackout to prevent the world from seeing the atrocities committed against the Palestinian people while denying international journalists access to Gaza to cover the genocide. All of this is part of a full-blown genocidal campaign and other international crimes attempting to entrench a second Nakba against 2.3 million Palestinians in the Gaza Strip for over a year. We've published many features on the Electronic Intifada in the last week, but we wanted to highlight excerpts of When a Medic Found His Mother's Body by Mustafa Taysir Al-Burai, a journalist in Gaza. Mustafa profiles a 29-year-old medic, Abdul Aziz Al-Bardini, and his harrowing story. Quote, stationed at a medical check-in point in Al Burej refugee camp, Abdulaziz received an emergency call about an Israeli airstrike targeting a civilian vehicle in Al Maghazi, another camp in central Gaza. Without hesitation, he and his medical team rushed to the scene, navigating through rubble and chaos to respond to the cries for help. We arrived within 3 minutes, he recounted to the Electronic Intifada in November. The airstrike had hit a civilian car with two missiles. The wreckage and injuries were horrifying. Abdulaziz immediately began assessing the victims. He treated three injured children, one of whom was in critical condition, and a woman who appeared lifeless. The children were my priority, he explained. Two of them had moderate injuries, but one, a 10-year-old boy, was in a dire state. He was bleeding internally and vomiting blood. My sole focus was to keep him alive. While Abdulaziz was working to stabilize the boy, bystanders carried the woman's body to him, saying she was already dead. He checked her for vital signs and confirmed her death. I covered her respectfully and placed her on the medic's seat in the ambulance, he said. There was no time to inspect her further. I had to focus on saving the living. The ambulance raced to the hospital where Abdulaziz carried the critically injured boy to the intensive care unit. After ensuring the child received immediate attention, he returned to the ambulance to retrieve the woman's body. Still unaware of her identity, he asked the attending doctor to confirm her death. I told the doctor she's alone. Please register her as an unidentified victim, Abdulaziz recalled. The doctor confirmed she had died and Abdulaziz prepared to leave. However, a strange feeling compelled him to look at her again. I can't explain it, Abdulaziz said. Something inside me told me to take one more look. He uncovered her face and his world came crashing down. It was my mother, he whispered, tears welling up. Her face was different because of the shrapnel wounds. At first, I didn't recognize her, but then I froze. It was her. Shock consumed him. I stood there, not believing what I was seeing. I kept telling myself, this must be someone else's mother. Someone will come and say it's their loved one. But the truth was staring at me. Abdulaziz's mother had been struck by shrapnel that pierced her eye and exited through her skull, causing fatal injuries. Only hours earlier, she had prepared him tea and a sandwich before his work shift. Her last words to him echoed in his mind, "Take care, my love. May God protect you." Those are excerpts from When a Medic Found His Mother's Body by Mustafa Taysir Al-Burai on electronicintifada.net. And finally, as we always do, we wanted to share images of people expressing defiance and resilience in the face of Israel's campaign of destruction. A celebration for a newborn baby in the Rifat al-Arir camp for displaced families in Deir al-Balah was captured by the Samir Project, a local mutual aid organization. They state, quote, Osbo'o, meaning weak in Arabic, is what we call the celebration of a newborn baby in Palestine. Aysel is the first newborn in the Rifat al-Arir camp who was born in late November, and we celebrated her arrival a week after she was born. We also celebrated Yazan and Maya's birthday. They are twins in the camp. The first thing we do in the Osbo'o is bathe the baby and put them on a decorated ghorbar, or a tray. The mother then wears a traditional dress and has to do 7 turns carrying the baby and saying Bismillah in God's name. Meanwhile, another woman repeats phrases like, listen to your mom, listen to your dad, listen to your grandmother, etc. Typically, the kids chase the mother and newborn with long candles and sing songs to welcome the baby. Kids are given bags of sweets and plates of sumaya are given out to everyone. The baby and mother are given gold or cash by close friends and family. We tried in Rifat al-Arir camp to celebrate the arrival of little Aysel with the sound of bombing in the background. And all we can do is keep fighting for Aysel to grow in a free Palestine. And that's it for the news roundup. As always, go to electronicintifada.net for much more, especially to read our new features by our brave writers in Gaza. You've been listening to the Electronic Intifada's newscast. I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman. Want to hear more? Check out our live stream with interviews, reports, and analysis, along with print articles, podcasts, and more at electronicintifada.net. Produced by Nora Barrows-Friedman, Tamara Nassar, and Pierre Loisel.